views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I was telling Steven after we saw Captain Marvel just how much excitement and also dismay I got from the soundtrack being basically everything I listened to in high school.
Yeah.
And it being one of those where this is supposed to be a period piece, but it's literally shit that I listened to on my Sony Discman with the shock protection on the bus on the way to and from school.
And I actually saved this for the episode because I was going to follow that with, yeah, that's everything I listened to in middle school.
Because I'm old.
Because you're old.
I am old.
It was just, basically like, here's the 90s.
Yes.
Well, let's go. The track list here, I mean, is ridiculous. It is perfect for a 90s period film. We've got, Hart and Lita Ford, because there's some 80s flashback stuff that happens. And then you get Salt and Peppa, Elastica, Garbage, R.E.M., TLC, Desiree, Nirvana, No Doubt, R.E.M., and Celebrity Skin by Hole.
I was a little disappointed they ended the film with that. I was like, you could have went out stronger than
Hole.
Come on.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get it. All right.
Yeah. I was really hoping, but it's too deep of a cut, I think, for a major Marvel movie is to get some Babes in Toyland in there.
Ooh.
That would be like, instead of just a girl during the fight scene, if they did, 1969, I think is the song by Babes in Toyland, it's like fucking raucous as shit. And it's like angry screaming girl music, and that would have been so much better. But, you know, I get it.
Well, with her character, she wasn't an angry, screaming kind of person, you know what I mean? She seemed more of that, just like she still kept it lighthearted even though shit was going down.
And, you know,
That song was actually a little perfect for... I did not think a song like that would fit in an action scene, but...
She was just a girl, and that's all they would let her be. So, I guess...
There's a matter of, you know, for... Yeah.
Which they do kind of hit on. We'll get more into that. Just enough in the movie, the whole I'm just a girl thing, or you're just a girl thing.
Yes.
And I was curious about that with Captain Marvel, that how they were going to handle the, like, women empowerment aspects of the film, because it's important. It's definitely part of the conversation, but if you are too ham-handed with it, it comes off as preachy. And I was worried about that Wonder Woman, but they knocked it out of the park there. I feel like Captain Marvel, for the most part, was super great, and the stuff that was a little ham-handed, I got why. You know, I wasn't really upset about it. And so that's kind of what we're getting into, is just the women empowerment of Captain Marvel. There's nothing else we're going to discuss on this film.
100%.
No, we are going to get into the nitty gritty of the new Marvel Cinematic Universe Captain Marvel movie. This is definitely spoiler heavy, so I'd suggest if you're listening and have not seen the film yet, go out, check it out. It's making tons of money right now, as most Marvel movies are wont to do, but it's... the second biggest opening weekend in Marvel history and the top female-fronted film, I believe, is what we're looking at. So there's definitely people seeing this movie. So
yeah, yeah.
If you haven't, go check it out and then come back and listen to this spoiler-heavy episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Welcome.
Perfect.
Actually, I really wanted to touch base on the music that we had going into this. This is a band called 59H2O. I had the opportunity to see them during the toy drive tail end of last year that the Creatures Grim put together, and they fucking rocked it. And why it is perfect is, just like Captain Marvel, it's fronted by a strong woman. It's been around since the 90s. 59H2O has been around since 94.
I was gonna say, they have that little bit of a grunge.
They
sound,
got a little bit of that.
Sounds
like,
perfect.
Yeah, and also a damn good time. So yeah. I would thoroughly suggest checking out 59H2O. There's going to be links and everything in our notes for this episode, and we'll throw all that stuff up on our social media as well. So go and check them out. They're a hell of a good time. Great live show and a lot of energy. So thank you so much for the use of Nightmare Dream is the name of the song off their album, newest album, Gaslit. So go and check that out.
Nice.
And now to talk about the people sitting here to discuss all things Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. To my right is the purveyor of Smash Talk. You're dropping an episode here pretty soon with interviews relating to a convention you went to, right?
Yes. Last year.
Last year.
Monster Mania, yeah.
Yeah.
So coincide with you know, Monster Mania this year.
Okay.
Was not the original plan, but that's what we're going with.
The joy of technology, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just rockheads like me figuring it out.
Yeah. So Smash Talk, we've got Kyle Smash here.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely.
This is an awesome episode to talk about.
I'm really excited about this episode. Yeah. Next to him is a regular panelist that hasn't been around for a little bit. The Red Patch is God. Back. For our longtime listeners.
I fucking forgot about that one.
Yeah, right.
Damn.
Steel trap in here, right here.
Holy shit.
Lorna is here to talk things Captain Marvel.
Yeah, because you can't have Captain Marvel without at least one token woman, actually, on the channel.
Well, you got to get the women's... Well, no, we did Black Panther, and the only black friend I could get to come out is Lowdown Brown, so... Which I was like, dude, I tried. Yeah, I really tried.
Your blackish boyfriend.
So we had like a half black here. That movie. Black person.
Mulatto magic again.
Lowdown, you're fully black in my heart.
Aw, thanks, buddy.
I appreciate that. I'm sure it's in your...
next up is my co-host and my platonic life mate. Platonic unless we drink enough, and then it just gets weird.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? So Hobbit, you sure that it's in your heart that I'm all black? Or
it depends again on how much I drink and where the blackness ends up on my body. More likely.
Yeah.
A slight change to the way we do things is that moving forward, all the GUI Knights stuff is going to be Lowdown centric. Lowdown's going to be taking the helm on running GUI Knights moving forward. So I'm excited to see just how much better you are than me at this thing.
I seriously doubt that's what you're going to find. You're going to be like, why the fuck?
Why did they do it's this?
Like, like GUI Knight terrors, like when he comes out and just fucking goes off on whatever.
That'll
he's
be
doing.
Me. Yeah, that'll be me totally. GUI Knight terrors.
You're just going to turn it into this like angry, right. Like bitter little 30-minute podcast.
Aw.
Just be the live action Peter Griffin of what grinds my gears.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
This is Lowdown Brown, and this is what grinds my gears. Yeah. Motherfucker.
Yeah.
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 First subject, people. Fuck you.
Fuck you, people.
Fuck you. You suck. No, but
like, dude, we were talking about like birds. I don't know how you ended up like...
And fuck them too. They shit on my car.
Fucking flying motherfuckers. You with your wings. Ooh, got wings.
I used to be a dinosaur.
Now you're a fucking street pigeon. Shut up.
So the guy who decided to give me those duties, geez, he's going to regret that. Dude. To my right, the man, the Hobbit. There you go.
Yeah, that's unfortunately me. I am Mike the Hobbit, the host of GUI, founder of the Geeks Under the Influence Network, and the pain in Lowdown's ass. Here to talk all things Captain Marvel. You can check out Geeks Under the Influence stuff at GUIpodcast.com. We've got links to information about GalaxyCon that four of our shows are going to be doing live recordings at. I'm also going to be on a panel about the starting your own podcast. So if you're interested in doing your own podcast or you're starting one already, that might be a good way to glean some information, avoid some pitfalls that we here definitely ran into when trying to get everything going. So it's always nice to kind of avoid things if you can. So definitely come out to GalaxyCon the 31st of May through the 2nd of June. And we're going to have more information at GUIpodcast.com along with all of our social media as well. So look up GUI Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. And subscribe and rate us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and all that. And also Podchaser. We're going to be having a giveaway in correlation with Podchaser. We're going to be giving away some of our merch to people that sign up and rate and review GUI shows on Podchaser. So stay tuned for when that starts, and we'll give you the information. So here we go. Captain Marvel is the subject matter.
Sweet.
Let's get the trainer rolling.
First thing to start with is this is a character that's had several different iterations over the years in comic books. And of course, there are a lot of changes to the character as that went on. That's why the changes in the way that they kind of altered the character for the movie didn't really affect me as much as it maybe would be for other characters, because it's just another iteration of that character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, is anybody here familiar with the comics at all?
To be honest, briefly. I mean, and mainly that's because once I heard there was, you know, rumors of this becoming a movie, you know, what, 3 or 4 years ago, I think was when they first hinted at this.
Yeah.
I kind of started doing some reading issues here and there using the apps. I think it was a Comixology, I believe. And I just kind of bought a few, you know, a few issues here and there just to get a feel for the character. Because I honestly...
Wikipedia, YouTube, man, there's so many.
I hadn't read any Captain Marvel growing up. That was just a run. That was just a hero I had not tapped into.
I knew Captain Marvel mostly in name for a long time. And obviously, you know, they'd in the recent years, they've talked about it because of Avengers. But I only knew it because of Rogue. From, you know, within X-Men, you know, and that's how I made that correlation. I knew she was powerful.
Well, for those unfamiliar, what is the correlation there?
That there was an interaction where Rogue had touched her and basically absorbed her powers. But in the comics, I don't think that Captain Marvel got her powers back. Actually, they transferred over the strength and the flight transferred over to Rogue. And eventually she unlocked and became a cosmic being through another set of storylines. But that was their main interaction. There was basically a fight, and then Rogue stole her shit.
Yeah, and that was when she was Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel,
where
yes.
Initially the Captain Marvel was Mar-Vell.
Mar-Vell, the scientist.
You see as played by, Annette Bening.
As a scientist.
As a scientist.
Specifically, yeah.
And the general storyline for Mar-Vell is that he was kind of a spy on Earth. Checking shit out, ends up in kind of a romantic and also professional relationship with Carol Danvers. Mm-hmm. And then through a series of events, ends up dying. I think he got cancer. I think that's what it was, if I remember correctly. And then she ended up kind of taking over the moniker of Captain Marvel.
I think if through my research, there was an incident where something similar within the movie, the event of an explosion of some, you know, and where it was Mar-Vell who blocked the blast from Carol Danvers, and through that blast effused her DNA with pieces of his, which made her the alien Kree hybrid that she is.
I got you.
Okay.
And I think that's how originally she got her powers.
Well, that's a little bit one of those that it may work in comic books, but it's a little too goofy for actual cinematic.
No.
So they did the same spirit of it, but with an actual transfusion. But that wasn't actually Mar-Vell that got transfused with. That was Yon-Rogg.
Yon-Rogg.
Which, that fucking switcheroo, they did that shit in fucking Homecoming too. Yeah. But I kind of like it because as a avid comic fan, you get a chance to experience it with the rest of the audience. Like, oh, you know, that Jude Law isn't Mar-Vell.
A totally different
character, and it was nice to have that moment of like, oh, okay, that's okay. I see what you're doing. Same with MJ in fucking Homecoming.
Some tricksy motherfuckers, man.
Yeah,
tricksy.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. They do. At least for now.
Well, they don't make trailers now that give everything away. They make trailers to think they've given everything away, then just switch it all.
And
up.
And they're like, haha, fuck you.
Yeah. They finally got smart.
Yeah, Hulk wasn't running with everybody in Wakanda. Middle finger.
That was a blatant, like, we're going to put him in this scene to fuck with everybody.
Well, first off, that scene wasn't even...
in the movie.
The way it's shot, it's not even the same...
No.
That didn't happen.
They did that shit on their off time.
they all came into different parts of the fight.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't all just run into, you know...
There's a director after a coffee break. It's like, hey, do we want to fuck with the public? Hey, guys, just run. I'll film it. And Hulk's like, okay. Because it's actually a real actor. It's not CGI. Just the dude in a big... No, I've seen the guys that do the Warhammer Centurion costumes that are gigantic at Comic Cons. It's just a guy in that kind of costume dressed as a Hulk.
They just cleaned it up a little bit. Yeah. Post edit.
Really good practical
on
effects.
Stilts. Yeah.
On stilts. Yeah, it's just one of those stilt dudes from carnivals that they jump
you got
around
him.
On.
Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's nobody tall like that on this planet that is not fucking laying down because their heart can't pump enough blood through it.
Like that dude from Big Fish. He's just.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's walking around like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I'm like, so tired.
7 feet something, but, you know, 9, 10 feet, you know, fucking, nah. You're dead.
Yeah.
True. It's just all the other Avengers just standing on each other's shoulders to portray Hulk. This is why I'm not directing Avengers movies. That's singularly the only reason.
Well, I'll tell you, this movie did a really, you know, I went into it with high expectations just because it's a Marvel movie and because of the subject matter. But I honestly, I didn't know if it was just going to be like, here's the 90s. Here, she flew and shot some shit. Here's some more 90s. Like, you never know. Because they really played that big in, of course, the original trailer with her falling through the blockbuster. which was awesome to
see. Absolutely.
And they got it down to a T.
Well, and I like that the panel that we have here is relatively diverse on our age groups, where, as was discussed earlier, I'm the old man that was like, I was born into the 90s, molded by it, and you guys simply adopted it later when you were like, Nirvana's pretty cool.
And I'm second to oldest.
Second oldest, yeah. And then we have Lorna.
All right, I was born in the 80s.
Yes, barely.
Shut up. It still fucking counts.
Yeah, true.
God damn it.
But
you still had exposure.
It's not a matter of that we didn't experience the same stuff. We were just at different ages when we experienced
exactly.
it. So,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah, so,
exactly.
So how old were you when you got the first Weezer record?
Oh, fuck off. Fuck yourself. I'm not going to dig.
No, okay. No, that's fair. That's fair. But with the 90s stuff, what did it seem really familiar?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I remember that was Blockbuster. That was the highlight of the week.
Right? Like, Friday nights, going out and getting a couple VHSs.
And getting in near fistfights with my brother, because we did the alternate. You can only get one movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this week was my week. Last week was your week. And getting into fistfights, because you said, well, the one I picked last week sucked, so I want to go again. No. No,
I'm having like NOM flashbacks as you're describing this, because I did the same shit.
Jesus.
Same thing, except for it was video games. And it wasn't always with my brother. Sometimes it was just with random other kids fucking trying to grab the same video game.
Yep,
because
absolutely.
That's all you could get for like a month.
Fair enough, because they didn't have the same quantities of video games they did the movies.
Oh, fuck no.
So if it was a new release of video game, you had the one copy, not like 10 fucking VHSs to pick from.
Yeah,
right?
You had a whole wall of new releases, and you had this like one fucking game for an entire store.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I bragged about this on the show before, but in the 90s, probably around the time that this movie is set, I was in the top 10 for my Blockbuster in my area for a video game competition they did, where there was four games that you played that hadn't been released yet that they had set up for the actual tournament where it had a timer and stuff. And it was the Judge Dredd video game when that movie came out. It was a like Street Fighter style fighting game with the Ninja Turtles. And then like two other ones that I can't remember, but I was one of the top 10 finalists as a fucking child, super excited. Like I'm top 10 and my mom was like, you can put that sticker on your like little
trapper keeper.
Well, no, I put it on where I stored my games. It was like one of those little VHS like rolly things, but for video games.
Was Fred Savage there to coach you through it?
Fred Savage actually was wearing a power glove.
Was he wearing that?
And he was like, "It's so bad." I'm like, "Give it up, man. That wasn't your character." And then
it's the character he wanted.
Then I kicked his ass. He played Donatello. I played Michelangelo. Not to brag, but yeah,
Donatello was better, anyways.
And I was like, "Dude, this game isn't set up for the power glove, so that's why you lost. Is that you're just trying to brag that you have one?"
I did the same thing, but with Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong
Country.
Yeah.
They had a huge event at the Blockbuster near King's Crossing.
Okay.
Which, if you live in this area, you may know where it is. But yeah, that's where they held their events. And Donkey Kong, I got seven out of like, I don't know, 75.
I smell ideas for our GUI nights being about Blockbuster video games and movies, I think. So let's put a pin in that and maybe go back to that GUI nights. That's the way to do it. Yeah. Yeah. You think so? Low down a little
bit?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So
holy shit.
Everybody just got excited about Blockbuster because they don't exist. Well, no one.
And they
one
there
exists.
Is one left.
Yeah.
Is it Ohio? Is that
Oregon?
Oregon
Valley.
Yeah.
And they knew it making this movie. They knew it. They knew it.
Yeah.
It's going to bring it back. Watch, you're going to see a fucking resurgence of it.
There's going to be one dude like Stan Marsh from South Park that opens up a Blockbuster and everybody's like, why?
Yeah. You're going to be someone on Kickstarter trying to do Blockbuster.
Now, there are a couple things from the 90s that... See, because did they come out and say what year it was in the 90s? Like, what was it?
I'm sure there was 96. A date.
I think I'm going to go with 96, 95,
yeah,
96.
Yeah, I think 94, 95, 96. One of those things.
It's right. Yeah, it's right around there, definitely.
There's one little thing that I was like, it was clearly too early for that then, because I was like, man, I would love to see someone drinking a Surge.
I think it was still Jolt.
Yeah, we had like two more years to go before Surge hit.
Yeah, I think Jolt was still running the things.
I'm surprised you didn't see like an old school 7-Eleven.
Like, it was in L.A. Was 7-Eleven big in L.A.?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, they're big everywhere. Yeah, that was.
Were they?
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in Jersey. It was Wawa, and they even in the 80s. Trumped 7-Eleven.
80s and 90s, we were, like, I remember getting Slurpees all through my youth. So, yeah definitely.
They're the McDonald's of gas stations.
I'm just saying,
whatever.
Growing up in Jersey, there were Wawas over 7-Elevens up north.
Yeah.
Northeast. Yeah.
The 7-Elevens are still there, weren't they? Sprinkled.
Now they're kind of gone.
All right, we're going offline.
Yeah, we are
going offline. All right.
So at the 90s, I think they did a really good job on establishing it as the 90s without, like Kyle was saying, about just like shoving it in your face, like making a foie gras of nostalgia, just force feeding you this 90s over and over again. It was nuanced, wearing a Nine Inch Nails t-shirt with a little like grungy flannel tied around her waist.
God, she looked good in
she
it too,
so
didn't
good.
She
looked so good. She really did.
She did.
But
she did.
As far as the storyline goes, what are our overall feelings about like the effect this has on the universe and how much we enjoyed the film? Is this a winner? Is this like the best or like good but not great? Or what? How do we feel about the movie?
I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed it as much as like, say, you know, the first Ant-Man or, you know, Spider-Man Homecoming, where I really loved it, but it was definitely a movie that wasn't, you know, and you couldn't expect it to be the same caliber as some of the other movies. Like, it wasn't going to be Civil War. It wasn't going to be Winter Soldier. And clearly, it wasn't going to even be Black Panther. Like, this movie was literally giving you a solid story that wasn't origin, but an origin done in flashbacks, mm-hmm. leading up to the fucking character we're going to get 20 years later in Endgame. Like, we needed this film because of what she's going to be in Endgame.
Yeah.
That is why we have this film. And I think some of the reviews I've read from people that are complaining about that they didn't like the storyline aren't taking into consideration we got what we were supposed to get, and they did it well.
Yeah.
Like, I had no qualms walking out of that film saying I really don't have a lot of issues with that storyline. I like the little twist. Like, I don't see problems with how they told that story, right? Some people get a little pissed about the Sam Jackson eye, but, you know.
Whatever. I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
That was adorable.
No, I mean, I've read things where people are like, really? I'm like, fuck you, man. That was fun. That was one of the funnest parts of the movie.
And that's what Marvel does the best. Yeah.
Well, it does fit that tone that Marvel has in the cinematic universe of just like a goofy little like thing to throw to the audience.
If this was a season of a TV show, it would be a filler, but a good one.
Exactly.
It'd be the one that you remember. You know, there's certain aspects that may be intricate to the overall storyline, but really, you know, it was a fun movie. Mm-hmm. I have two reviews. One is from the eyes of just somebody who enjoys watching movies and enjoys the subject matter. Is that I thought it was really good. It didn't. I mean, I wasn't like, oh my God, like blown away by it. But I thought it was a really, really solid film. I really liked Brie Larson. The costumes were good. The fighting was good. The humor was good. I didn't give a shit about the eye. I actually thought that was pretty funny.
Right.
Considering how tough how tough Fury is, mm-hmm. For him to have to bitch out and be like, nobody can know about that, was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
My second review is from the eyes of somebody who has a 7-year-old daughter. If I'm her, which I'm going to take her hopefully later this evening to see it. If I'm her, the feeling that I know that I've watched her get from other heroes that were women, like Wonder Woman or whatever the case is. And seeing that she, like even recently, she's fallen a lot, whether physically or metaphorically, and she's had to get back up. And I think her seeing that and the way that they depict it in the movie, I almost fucking cried watching it.
That scene where it showed the flashback of her getting up and it's like, that's what it means to be human. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the last episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer when all the Slayers get their powers at the same time. And so the like, girl being hit by her dad and like catches his fist and is like, no, motherfucker. And the girl that like is playing baseball and then she looks up like, yeah, which is 100% mm-hmm. happened in Captain Marvel as well. And it just definitely had that moment of like empowerment without it being just like, and women aren't going to take no shit. It was just like really sweet and.
All right, so growing up, you know, your parents always, as a daughter, I'm sure you understand, dressing them up as Disney princesses is kind of the thing to do. And I was always the odd man out because I wanted to dress as Batman or I wanted to be Superman. And I think, so this new generation, I guarantee you, almost everyone under 15 had absolutely no idea that Captain Marvel existed, or a vast amount of them had no idea.
Yeah.
And so... Yes, we were given Wonder Woman, which was absolutely a fantastic movie, but she was not human.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to now have such a fantastic, like this was a human and she's not perfect. She falls off the ropes when she's trying to be in the military. She knocked down all the time and all that to finally have a real, genuine, strong human woman, I think is absolutely fantastic. And it's, I think, what Marvel really needed.
Yeah.
And I could add on that, one of the best things they did in the movie was her best friend. There wasn't some romantic bullshit. Wasn't about a love story or exactly. some underlining like I need a man or I don't need a woman or whatever the case is. It was a love story about best friends too. Mm-hmm. That was a way different angle to take it, and absolutely. I really appreciate it.
I did as well.
Now, I 100% agree with both Lorna and Smash on how they portray how Captain Marvel is giving this generation a whole new style of superhero, with, you know, especially female fronted superhero. But at the same time, I mean, Marvel hasn't been lackluster in that either. I mean, we have Black Widow, who is fucking amazing. Granted, she's not the forefront in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she doesn't have her own run yet, but that is coming out. But she has always been, there are things that happen in every movie that she's in that would not have happened that makes her extremely pertinent to that particular story arc and what she does.
And she's a very real person, too.
And she's person. All she has is little tasers and some badass training.
They show that in Age of Ultron, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, Marvel already has had that, but not on the level that this is their own line of movies.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, but Romanoff had to come through some serious shit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I think that's the angle that these characters are coming from. With Wonder Woman, it's an outsider's perspective that when talking about humanity, it's them, it's not us. You know, that mankind has the potential to be so much better. It's not we have the potential to be so much better. You know, she is. She's the perfect embodiment of what humankind could maybe eventually ascend to, but it's not where we are. And with Black Widow, it's trying to find the reconnection with humanity when it's been pushed out of you. And that's very similar in some regards to what Captain Marvel's going through, where it's realizing that all the human nuances that are of your personality and just yourself, you know, your personal identity, aren't wrong. That it's actually, as she discovers more about her past and kind of gets re-in-touched with her humanity, all those nuances that she was, like, given shit for suddenly make more sense, and it fills out the full picture, and it's more of a personal us type conversation about humanity and being, you know, a woman and being, you know, showing the good and the powerful parts of being a human person.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, and so that was probably to me like the closest to, you know, because exactly, Black Widow is a human. There's nothing else. You know, she's just been trained and she's just a badass, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, ever since Iron Man 2, you know. But I mean, then you do have Gamora.
I love that line. I want one.
Yeah.
Stark.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. Yeah. I want one.
No.
But, you had Gamora who on her own account of the shit she had to deal with growing up with fucking Thanos, right? Like,
well, she's space Black Widow.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Basically.
She's another amazing, who again, Guardians movies and Infinity War clearly would not be what it is without Gamora. In that movie, right? That's how he gets the fucking Soul Stone, for Christ's sakes, right? Woman who was willing to sacrifice herself before letting him get what he needed to complete his mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She tried, you know, we just rewatched that. She literally tried to stab herself, and of course, the stone, but.
Yeah, so the comment that I made, I totally understand Black Widow, yes, and they can all stand on their own 2 feet, but it's with Captain Marvel. She, all of her imperfections over the course of the movie, as she mm-hmm. learns more about, starts remembering all of her imperfections and getting beaten down, that makes her a stronger person to the point at the climax where her just floating there, flying
so
lit
badass.
Up, is enough to make Ronan and all of them just tail.
Ronan was peeing something different. It was like blue or whatever, but you could tell he's pissing his whatever the hell he's wearing.
No, he said he would come back for her.
I heard it in my head, that scene of them just going, run away!
Run away!
Run away!
Yeah, exactly. Retreat! Retreat!
Like, that is a new level of just personal female awesome strength.
And I love that it was, like, tying into the humanity of it that made it, like, work. Oh, yeah. That was fucking...
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, the end scene where Ronan was just like, we'll be back for her. Like, it clearly lets you know that Ronan was... like shocked, but he was also like, oh, I'm gonna come and get that. That's the weapon. I want that. But I don't know if it was her just showing up in front of his ship. I think it was the fact that she plowed through an entire fucking ship.
Yeah.
Just flying through it and it blew up. Like, that might have been what did it. I don't know. That was fucking badass.
Yeah. Well, you know, to end it on, like, well, I'm sure we'll come back to that part of the story in terms of the strength of any, like, a woman, but I don't, and it's funny because, yeah, it shows that strength, like her being a child and doing all these things, or falling and then being in the military. And I know that it was focused more on the fact that, you know, she was a female, she was strong, she was already this strong before. And then she was given these powers. Mm-hmm. She was already a badass before she had the powers. And I like that. But that, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be just female. I think it could speak to anybody, especially children who feel different or don't feel as strong. Like, they did a really good job of basically bringing that home without me going, all right, I'm choking on this a little. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You're shoving it down my throat a little hard.
Now, before we get into the break, I do want to kind of go over a couple nitpicks that we might have about the film.
Because the second half, shit-taggery.
Yeah, it's nothing overly major where I feel like the film was ruined by it or anything like that. There's one thing that bothered me a lot, and it could be very well explained away. How'd you get her fucking suit back? That bothered me a lot. That she stole the Nine Inch Nails t-shirt, which that was fucking rad, but the clothes and everything, and I assumed put her actual costume in the side satchel of the motorcycle she stole. And then she gets into the car with Fury, and I assume it goes into the car with Fury. But then they leave on the jet from the, like, secret installation, and the entire time that she's running around with Fury, it's not like she has a little handbag with her outfit. So the only way she would end up with her suit at the farm, her friend's farm, was if she was wearing it under the Nine Inch Nails shirt and the jeans and stuff. But the
very
jeans,
plausible.
There were holes in the jeans that you saw her knees.
True.
So
damn it.
It was one of those continuity things that just kind of bothered me a little bit.
Hey, well, you know, her suit changes colors and does. It's nanotechnology.
Yeah, it's nanotech.
No, but I mean like it doesn't change the bulkiness of it.
But it could. I mean, Tony Stark is able to pull his entire suit out of a wristwatch.
Her wristband that she had, like, she did have something there, right? That's where she controlled the suit.
Yeah.
It could expand, change colors, change whatever she needed.
In her skin, she popped the memory thing into her skin.
So,
and you know, if that's what it is, cool. I'm good. Like, then that solves it for me.
I think there was no explanation of it either. Well, I don't think, you know, you didn't need one. Apparently.
So, and that's all.
I love you, Hobbit.
Smash has on this episode.
I'm going home, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Hobbit.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye. No, but as far as other nitpicks, was there anything else that kind of like just bothered you a little?
Renaming the cat. It. I understand your reasoning.
It was Chewy, right?
It was supposed to be Chewy.
Yeah.
And it's not like Marvel can't use Chewy. Right? I mean.
It's Goose.
How does Marvel get the right to use Goose?
I understand that it's Goose. I understand the reasoning. It's Top Gun. I understand that.
Yeah.
But
but why?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Chewy was a fantastic name for that cat.
Yep.
Yeah. But how do they get the rights to Goose?
Well, I mean, they don't need to. It's just the name of an animal. So that's no direct references to it being a Top Gun reference. So, yeah.
Well, except for the fact that, like, when they're both walking out and one of the flashbacks, it's directly the scene from Top Gun.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
Directly.
Hey, there was a scene from fucking Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
With Will Smith and the battle in the desert when he's in the jet.
I think I think we can start having like a whole list of all the different things. Because I brought up there's a big Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Yeah, I've not noticed
in there
that
as
at
well.
First, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole laundry list of all of the ones that they took a nod at.
From some of the best 90s movies. Probably Last Crusade. Did anything from Last Crusade?
That Indiana Jones reference was from the first one, which was the 80s.
Well, I was just making a joke in terms of the fact that
you know, after the 80s, nobody watched Indiana Jones ever again.
No,
so it
totally
wouldn't have
didn't.
Been a
That's
reference
right.
in the 90s
no.
At
all. Well, if you're going by the movies, I'm just saying, was there one to come out in the 90s? I think Last Crusade came out in the 80s.
I think that was 89 when Last Crusade came out. Yeah. So yeah.
No, there was one that, well, no, I guess that wasn't the 90s, was it?
Let's not talk. What are you talking about?
We don't talk about that one.
What are you talking about?
The one that was that ended at concept and they never actually filmed it, that one.
Ugh.
Telepathic Monkeys?
Telepathic, interdimensional dumbassery.
Nazis and monkeys.
Nazis and interdimensional Nazis, I think.
Interdimensional Nazis?
Yes.
That'd be fucking terrifying.
It would be fucking terrifying.
Jesus Christ, we were having a wonderful conversation. Now I'm going to think about that. I'm lose sleep.
No, I'm going to make it worse. Imagine a Nazi Time Lord.
That would...
Oh,
you thought the master was bad.
Oh. Oh, mistress, Missy.
Goebbels rolling around time and space. Whoa, no.
Controlling aspects of it?
Yeah. Oh, no. Mm. Let's not do that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Nope. So Captain Marvel, totally a positive film.
Yes.
Loved it.
Yeah. Totally. Absolutely.
Totally positive.
I think there was a little bit of nuance in the acting from Alison Brie that I was a little confused by, because on one side she was a little bit muted in her emotion, but with being in the Cree kind of thing, that was hit really hard at the beginning of the movie, that, you know, you need to like stifle your emotions. That's a weakness. But I felt like she needed to kind of emote a little bit more in the flashback scenes pre-Cree to give it that contrast. So that was one thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that up, because like I knew there, I didn't write it down. I knew there was something that I was like, no, there's something I wanted to bring up. And that was it, because I had read some things where people complained about just in general, they were saying she gave a bad acting performance because of like all she really did was smirk this and that. And I'm like,
that smirk was real cute.
Smirk to Stanley on the train. Oh,
but I mean, like, no, God, wait, yes. She was a fucking Cree. She was trained under, but, like, Crees don't do emotion.
There's like a 3-minute conversation about how she needs to not be emotional.
Exactly. So like, why were you expecting all of a sudden to like, what
also,
were you expecting?
That's what I gained from this, is that what happens when you tell a woman to calm down is she will murder your entire fleet. That's what happens.
No shit.
Blow up your ship, motherfucker.
Do never tell a woman to calm down.
One more time. Just prove to me that you're...
That too, that was so beautiful. Good. They're like, why?
That was the Indiana Jones scene. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing: it was muted. Like the performance is muted to a point, but it as it was required to be. But she still threw in. I mean, she has a signature sort of smile or smirk, anyways, right? So she threw that in almost any time that she could.
Yeah,
like, I have dreams about that smirk.
Yeah, it's a good
so
smirk.
I mean, she did it. She just was perfect the way that she did it. The scene with when she first meets Samuel Jackson or Nick Fury. You know, she's got one basically on her fucking face the entire time.
But it's even in the trailer when she's putting on the hat, it's like, is this help with your undercover work? And yeah. She's just smirking at him like, hey.
She's just talking shit, having a good time.
How about when she first gets captured by the Skrull and they're going through her brain and she like figures out how to, she blasts through those handcuffs.
Yeah.
She's like, oh.
Yeah.
She's like, then it's on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right, we're going to save the conversation about the Stanley cameo and other stuff for the second half. So we're going to take a break here.
Oh, the feels.
So that's where it's going to get real crazy.
Yeah. So you guys can hear a little bit more about GalaxyCon, about trivia, all sorts of stuff we're doing in town. And when we come back, we'll do a drunken scene, talk about what we're drinking, and talk about some Stanley cameo action as well as more. So stick around. We'll be right back. Time to put on your party pants, geeks, because on May 31st through June 2nd, Geeks Under the Influence Network is doing it live. Come out to GalaxyCon at the Richmond Convention Center to see Geeks Under the Influence, Smack My Pitch Up, Beautiful Disasters, and Geek Father doing a live recording of their shows. In addition, I will be on a panel called Adventures in Podcasting telling you how to get in and started on your very own podcast. There is plenty more in store coming from Geeks Under the Influence, so definitely stay tuned to our social media and GUIpodcast.com for more information. We have an event page on Facebook. If you look up the Smack My Pitch Up, Geek Father, Geeks Under the Influence, or Beautiful Disasters page on Facebook, you can find the event there or links on the homepage at GUIpodcast.com. Come out and join us or die live. This is Mike the Hobbit, direct from Fallout on a trivia night, telling you to come here every first and third Monday for trivia between 8 and 10, 25-cent wings, drink specials, prizes, and tons of really inappropriate trivia. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys agree? Definitely come out and enjoy trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout. We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Captain Marvel. We are going to get into way more Captain Marvel here in a second. But before we do that, let's get into our sponsors, the people that help make this possible. Our longest running sponsor, of course, is Amazon.com. If you want to pick up any of the Marvel movies or any of the 90s jams that that you heard during the Captain Marvel movies, or your own flannel to wrap around your waist to look properly grunge, and a Nine Inch Nails t-shirt, you can find all that stuff at Amazon.com. If you want to do any cosplay of Carol Danvers and you need equipment and supplies, your own Nine Inch Nails shirt, a little jacket, some ripped up jeans.
Yeah, the shirt that's already got the holes for the thumbs to go through.
Yeah. You can find stuff like that at Amazon.com, along with just about anything else that you want. We just ask that you shop Amazon through the link at GUIpodcast.com. Go to the top right corner, and we've got a link right there. Anything you purchase through that link, we get money from. You're paying the same amount, but we get to supply ourselves with equipment and storage fees and booze and all the things that we require to make this thing happen. So please, go to Amazon.com through the link at GUIpodcast.com. And the next one is personally, I'm super excited about this this sponsor here is TeePublic.
Yes.
TeePublic.
Yes, they're awesome.
We've got like 14 or 15 designs now available through the TeePublic site, including shirts with logos from all the different shows, one of which being we just redid the logo for GUI Knights. GUI Knights. That Lowdown will be taking control of.
Miami Vicey.
It's very kind of retro-y, you know, at very 80s, like early 90s kind of retro looking, which it's a pretty shirt.
It makes
Does
you feel like I'm
a chrome lettering on it. Yeah.
It's got the like bright pink, almost neon lettering on it, yeah. with a retro sun in the background.
It's almost like an opening to like Grand Theft Auto Miami Vice, like, you know,
Vice City.
Vice City. Yeah.
Yeah. You do realize you're in charge of saying GUI Knights.
Ooh, pretty.
Yeah, GUI Knights. That's fine. I have that saved, so I don't have to do it every time. That's fine. But yeah, you can get the GUI Knights stuff. We've got a shirt that says, "Y'all motherfuckers need Odin." We've got a shirt that says, "Shut the fuck up, Hobbit," with duct tape on my face. We got an Excelsior shirt, speaking of Stan Lee. It's him as a watcher, and it says Excelsior in the Marvel font. A lot of really cool shit, as well as the shirts for the different shows on the network. Available if you just go to gypodcast.com/store. There's a link to our TeePublic page. Also, if you find us on Podchaser, the store is directly connected to our Podchaser page as well. So easy way to kind of look at episodes and also shop right on the same page. So check that out. Buy the merch. There's stickers. There's CD cases. There's coffee mugs. There's all sorts of stuff that you can get your favorite designs from GUI on. So I'm really excited about the giveaway we're going to do in the near future with our merch in correlation with Podchaser with reviews. We're gonna give out more of that information once we get closer to our giveaway. I think we're aiming for probably sometime in April, right around the 4-year anniversary of GUI is when we're gonna start doing the giveaways for that.
It's been four years.
4 years.
Damn.
Oh, we got some stuff for that too, guys.
So. Oh yeah, we got some plans. So yeah, definitely stay tuned. It's gonna get weird in April and May, real weird. Good weird, hopefully.
I was gonna say good weird. Yeah, bad weird.
Good.
That's
weird.
That's all perspective.
Yeah, okay. That is true.
You know,
that's true.
Sometimes bad can be good.
Exactly.
All right. Speaking of bad, good. We're gonna get into the theme song for what we're drinking.
Hey. We're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
Fucking.
I love it every time.
Every time.
It never gets old.
Especially when you're here, Smash.
It's better.
You know, the hardest thing is to have these headphones on and hear my own voice doing that. I'm going, the fuck?
You little did you know when you did that on an episode that it would become immortalized.
That's almost, what, a 2-year anniversary?
That was like probably a year or two ago, yeah.
Yeah, because before I left out of town for a little while, like, you would started using it on a few episodes.
Which was 2017.
Yep.
So it's a year and a half almost.
Yeah, a little while.
Jesus. Oh, that's when you went superheroing for a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't call it that. More sitting in a spot and moving things from left to right.
To do what?
Back to front. Huh?
Save people.
Well, I didn't save anybody, but thank you.
You were a cog in the wheel that saved people.
Sure. That's exactly. Yep.
Okay.
It's part of the machine.
Exactly.
Trying to give you credit, and you're like, no.
No, man. I didn't do anything, man.
I can't take credit where it's not deserved.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, I like
that. Thank you.
You got one person on your side.
Thank you, Lorna.
That's why I'm sitting over here.
If you're running logistics to get things to people so they don't die, that's being a big cog in the wheel.
Yeah. Well, small cog, but cool. Yes, right. Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard you have a small cog.
You get the bump on that one. That was good.
I got fluid hips, so.
Kyle, fluid hip smash. All right, let's get into what we're drinking that's making this second half such
Christ.
A shit show.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Lowdown was nice enough to bring something for us to taste on here.
Yeah, what we are sharing today is a Hardywood Park Brewery beer. It is Trickery. It's usually released the last weekend of October, and it is an Imperial Stout that is aged in apple brandy barrels. And it is a dick kicker. It is a 10%er.
Whew.
You get that apple, man. I just took my first sip of it, and holy crap.
It's a tasty treat. Sure it is. And I picked this because it is thematic to what we're going to go into in the second half, which there was some trickery going on in Captain Marvel.
Mm. Oh, for sure.
I like how it coats the tongue.
This is a heavy beer.
Yes.
This definitely is not like sessionable.
No.
Even during the winter, I would be, especially with the ABV, this would be kind of dangerous to try to take down a couple bottles of.
No, see, like in the winter when this is definitely more suitable, even though it is getting a little chill in the air, so it's fine for right now. But this is where you know you're not going anywhere, and you just want to drink, and you have a bottle to yourself, mm-hmm. and then you're good.
In the winter, especially if you're outside, your body's trying to burn it all off anyways to stay warm. This is perfect because it burns it off fast enough. You don't feel sick. You drink these. This is thick. This is a thick beer.
Yeah. I don't know if I like them. You know you don't like it.
No, I'm saying I like this.
Oh, okay.
I could actually drink this. That's what I'm saying is that it's one of those beers that it wouldn't just build up in my stomach and like, all right, I feel like shit.
Well, like the thickness of the beer really helps with the alcohol level not really coming through. You're not getting any of that burn from the alcohol. Like,
no.
It doesn't taste very alcohol-y. I guess.
It's got a solid aftertaste.
It's a technical term.
It's sweet. It's sweet on the back end, right?
And the
just like Lowdown. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That was perfect.
Yes.
That was good.
And the thickness helps with the not drinking it too fast, because you don't want to like just keep constantly coating your palate with this. Like, you know, you take a sip and you can savor it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if you drink it too fast, you're just like losing part
of it. Well, that's why it's 10%, because they assume you're going to sip on it.
Well.
They hope.
They hope.
Yeah. They hope.
Do they know Richmond?
Like, have you been to a release? People don't always sip on it.
They took a survey.
Now, Smash, you brought something that's thematic as well.
I did. And I have one that I'm not drinking to share, and I got to get pour them, but there's no cups.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to describe it. It's, you know, and especially for this, I saw it and I thought it was appropriate. It was Goose Island IPA. Obviously, goose being the most important word there.
And you know that cat really loves, or Flurgen. I'm sorry,
it's Flurgen.
That Flurgen loves some hops.
So the description of that thing is that it's basically like, it looks like a cat, but it has tentacles.
It's fucking Lovecraftian as shit.
That is a crazy ass thing.
It's like Cthulhu decided to fuck around with a little tabby cat, and then
it's like Garfield fucked an elder
god.
Well,
basically, what
that was a visual. Yeah. Thanks.
That one hit me deep. Wow. What it basically was Captain Marvel's version of Groot. Anyways,
yeah.
But,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And
well, I would have said Rocket Raccoon a little bit more than Groot.
Maybe an attitude. But in the abilities, no, that's definitely more
that whole hallway scene was strictly Groot from the first movie, like slamming people around that
tentacles
walkway.
Coming out, dragging them all.
Yeah,
whatever happens with Endgame, like if there's a scene where Groot is petting the cat, I'm done.
Oh my
like, that's
god,
that's it. That's all I need. Like you can do whatever the fuck else with that movie.
I
want
to see him fucking slapbox.
You can have a 25 minute scene of just Groot just being like, I am Groot.
I can see that.
Just getting cutesy like Fury did.
Mm. Sounds like he's getting a little agitated there for me. I am Groot, you motherfucker.
There can be only one.
And then they start slapboxing.
I think that, I don't know, the Flurkin might win in that fight.
Like, oh, definitely.
They can both, but they both, basically they can both put out as many tentacles and or branches they want.
Yeah, but I don't know. The Flurkin just seem more vicious. Maybe it's the whole Lovecraftian aspect. It just seems like evil and darker and stronger.
It's only because it looks innocent.
Fun fact, I don't know if you guys knew this, that the Flurgen actually made an appearance in a Disney movie like decades ago. It was in the bottom of Mary Poppins' purse.
Oh, shut up.
No, not. Okay.
I thought you stretched for this. You'd know.
No.
Just pulled
it's
a muscle.
Too much. I pulled a muscle.
It was just resting in the ether, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, right. Real quick. The Goose Island Beer Company. It's from Chicago, Illinois. And that's all it is. It's just a general IPA. I think, what did we say? It was 5.9%?
5.9. Yeah.
It's not super tart. Like, no. I wouldn't necessarily consider it IPA compared to most others I've had.
No, it doesn't really feel like an IPA.
Exactly. Which could be a little dangerous because you can drink more of them.
At 5.9.
At 5.9. Okay. Well, okay. Listen, you may be okay.
Just saying.
My physiology now, it's different. it doesn't handle the same amount of alcohol that probably you can.
Were you saying I drink a lot?
I'm not. I didn't say that. Did you say that?
I didn't.
No, those weren't your words, were they?
No.
Okay.
Speaking of psychological.
So this is what we're drinking to get through this episode.
We're drinking too much is what we're drinking.
Now, the next thing we're doing is making a drunken scene. So let's play that music here.
Making a drunken scene.
So this was kind of difficult because there isn't a lot of stuff on Captain Marvel to do dialogue from. So we had to pull from another Marvel property. And I thought the best one to pull from is the first time that an Avenger met the Space Avengers, or the Guardians of the Galaxy. And that's the scene where Thor gets pulled onto the spaceship, the Guardian's ship. It's been wrecked a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's the first time they're actually meeting an Avenger. But it's got Peter Quill, Drax, Rocket Raccoon, Mantis, and Gamora. So we need somebody to double up on one of these. But is there anybody that's really pushing for one character or another?
I could do Drax.
Should I just do the two ladies?
Yeah, if you want to do the two ladies.
Would that just make things easier?
Hey, that works for me.
I'll do Rocket.
Then I'll Peter Quill the situation.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna do it. Like, there's no reason to change it up. But
hey, do whatever you want with it. That's the fun of this.
Well, we know I can't do accents, so I don't try.
Do I really? I am not a great actor. This is not going to go convincing.
Oh, none of us are.
Okay.
No, right.
No, you can choose whatever accent, whatever like impression, whatever voice you want to use for these characters. You don't have to do the character. I've done Mickey Mouse for Pulp Fiction, so you can do basically whatever. English, motherfucker.
He does it so well.
That should have me dying, dude. That was killing. That killed me.
The trick is just to not overthink it,
mm-hmm.
because this is not supposed to be good. That's kind of the point. Is that it's just whatever. So here we go. From Avengers Endgame, starting with Peter Quill. So, how the hell is this dude still alive?
He is not a dude. You're a dude. This is a man. A handsome, muscular man.
I'm muscular?
Who are you kidding, Quill? You're one sandwich away from fat.
Yeah, all right.
It's true. You have put on weight.
What? Dax gestures chin and gut. Yeah. Gamora, do you think I'm...
He is anxious. Angry. He feels tremendous loss and guilt.
It's like a pirate had a baby with an angel.
Wow. This is a real wake-up call for me. Okay, I'm going to get a Bowflex. I'm going to commit. I'm going to get some dumbbells.
You know you can eat dumbbells, right?
It's like his muscles are made from Chitauri metal fibers.
Stop massaging his muscles.
Whoa.
End scene.
End scene.
End scene.
There
okay.
we go. That was
That was different.
Yeah, that's a...
That's the thing that happened.
Thing that happened, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
we were all part of that.
Yeah, yeah. We were equally party to that.
There was no one person this time.
No, we were all a part of that one.
If I'm going down, I'm taking you all with me.
Yes. My awful Keanu Reeves.
That was... Yeah.
I didn't give enough effort. That was my fault.
Yeah.
You need more like...
You got to commit.
Yeah.
You got to get a Bowflex.
You do have...
You need a more like Point Break, Keanu. I feel like you were...
That was good.
I feel like you were more John Wick, where it was less, you know, less speaking and emphasis on...
Yeah, I guess, I felt like I was just, you know, I just wanted to pop off a few rounds.
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
All right, so let's... we discussed Stan Lee a little bit right towards the end mm-hmm. of the first half, so let's get back into it. The cameo.
Yes.
We were discussing on the break that we believe, and please, you know, let us know if we are incorrect... You know, as they say, don't at me. No, at us with this is that.
Yeah, we ain't perfect.
No, it's fine. But we can't think of a single Marvel movie that he's been in, whether MCU or otherwise, that he played himself. Usually it's him playing some other character or just a man on the street, as Lorna said, that it's never him playing Stan Lee. And clearly he is Stan Lee in the scene reading a script from Mallrats, reading his lines from Mallrats. So. This is actually him being him, making Stan Lee himself canon in the MCU.
Yep.
It's goddamn right.
By extension, Kevin Smith.
And by extension, also yes. Kevin Smith.
He's now canon.
Who also went on a long, like, social media thankful rant about how he's now canon in the MCU. And that's just beyond amazing. And a picture of him just, like, with red eyes, clearly having bald his fucking eyes out from the honor. And
you know, he was just going, thinking, I can die now. Yeah, like, I can go. I can die. This is why I actually survived my heart attack.
Yeah, it was clearly just for the Mallrats.
Right,
scene.
Yeah.
We were saying on the break that this, I think, probably for him might trump the birth of his child. I mean.
And it's not.
Come on.
Yeah, he may have to. There may be some family therapy in the future.
Poor Harley.
I mean, the man's got the shrine at the secret stash, okay? Where it's got one of Stanley's actual sweaters, a pair of his glasses in a case with some pictures, and then like candles in front of it.
I just got like the thing of, do you remember Hey Arnold and Helgoji Pataki, just the shrine of Hey Arnold? I just have a picture of in my head of Kevin Smith in front of a shrine of Stanley made out of bubblegum.
Yeah.
And that's...
But no, I didn't, you know, and I don't mean that to like play on the fact he's got a shrine, but I'm just saying like that's what this man means to him.
Yeah, he means everything. So, they were friends.
He wanted to be his caretaker.
They were legitimate friends. That's like, why I you got to respect the fact that they threw him a nod to both of them in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was a incredibly well thought cameo.
Yes.
That gave a lot of credit to where credit was due. Like Stanley playing himself, and this is the second to last appearance that he recorded. As far as I know, he has one for Endgame as well that should be coming out. But so for him to actually be himself.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting for it to be the cameo at the end of Endgame where it's just him as Stan Lee, who's also a watcher that was just controlling like a puppeteer this entire universe the entire time, just pulling it out like at the end is him being the guy that pulled all the strings, because he in some ways kind of was.
Yeah.
I don't know if he pulled all the strings so much as he was the thread that kept it together.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, my feels.
Yeah, and that actually brings up a good point. Like, I really hope that it doesn't start to fall apart. By you mentioning that, because that is true. Was he what was keeping it together, and what and where it is that we love? You think that like without his presence and the involvement he did have going forward, that we might see it start to fall? I mean, honestly, I
think the Russo brothers are doing a damn good job, kind of taking over helm from Whedon. Mm-hmm. They've done really well by the movies that they've directed, and they're doing. They did Infinity War. They're doing Endgame, but there also is a big loss with James Gunn leaving the Guardian side of things, because I feel they're gonna go more cosmic moving forward after this.
Oh yeah, they're gonna get away from Earth.
Yeah, but Taika did do a fantastic job, and his version of cosmic, you know, universe stuff is not exactly like contrasting to James Gunn's. Yeah. There is some correlation there that could work. So Marvel, I'm really interested to see what happens after Endgame with the Spider-Man Far From Home being the first one after the Thanos, you know, arc of Marvel. But
see how that all unravels. It's still, you know, what's fucked up is that they purposefully put out the trailer for this before Endgame. And you already know that Spider-Man has turned to dust. Yeah. And you're like, you could kiss my ass. Because all you're doing is going like, you know, you're just dangling it in front of me. Like, are you hungry? Are you hungry? And then slap me in the face.
But also, I know that Marvel has no doubt in their mind and they fully understand the weight and the lividity of the first movie going into Phase 4 after the thing they've been building for, at this point, 11 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, think about it. Endgame, it's 11 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
For the climax that's about to happen.
We're at, what, 20, 21 films at this point that are all building up to this one film?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So it's kind of like starting off from a new phase where there's a whole new arc starting. Like, there's a lot of... I feel like there's going to be a lot of weight that in Far From Home is going to be relying on a solid starting point.
I picture it like this. You know how like generational quilts... And you feel like, you know, like one part of the earlier part of the family, this is the first half of the quilt, or this is a quarter of it. And then they start stitching together a whole new generation worth of it. That's what this is going to be. Like, this may go further than 4 and 5 and 6, because you have an infinite number of stories to tell. You really do. Yeah.
Now, with talking about like the beginnings of, I wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit with Captain Marvel, is that if you go to the early films in the cinematic universe, Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, where they were still kind of figuring out what they were doing, but also there wasn't this entire web woven to pull from different other heroes that they could pull in and incorporate, and this big storyline that didn't even need to be talked about. It was just a backdrop to everything happening. And with Captain Marvel being a genre a period piece, they didn't have a lot to pull from aside from, you know, serving two masters of a little bit of foreshadowing for stuff that we've already seen happen.
Yeah.
And her having to stand up on her own, this is the first period piece MCU film. Oh, no, no. Well, Captain America, First Avenger.
I was going to say, whoa. Yeah.
But even then, it was early enough in the run of things that it wasn't fighting all this, having to fill in the blanks on all these 20 fucking films that are out there.
Yeah. Oh.
But I was going to say, Guardians, through Peter Quill, you get a lot of that as well, too, though. There's a lot of... If the music alone could be its own character,
yeah.
Then yes, I would say Guardians of the Galaxy is definitely a
talk about soundtracks, right? Jesus.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Best. Oh, I got that on vinyl. It was the best present I ever got myself.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, because when Captain America First Avenger came out, that was like the fifth film at the time in this whole...
Was that post-Iron Man 2?
No, Iron Man 2 came out at... wait.
We need to pull out the timeline.
Wait, it was... Captain America was the last single film prior to Avengers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the last one. Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to keep track of what released when.
It came out.
It's way too much.
Dude.
And you know, there are lists available on the internet that shows you the timeline and which ones to watch in which order to get everything
chronologically. Once phase 3 comes out in the box set and I have all three phases, I'm going to just not have a life and try that.
We need to have an on-the-spot laptop, like, just for Google, and be like, what is this shit?
We need to do, instead of what going to the theater, because they do that every time for an Avengers film where you can watch all the movies in a row, and it takes, like, 2 fucking days now to do it, where they just play it nonstop. So, like, people are passed out in the theater, like, and you get a little badge thing, and it's like $200 to go and see all these movies. But we just need to do that here. over a period of, like, 2 weekends, so we're not being complete jerks about it.
All right, so I've got, it was Iron Man, the original one was 2008. Iron Man 2 was 2010. Captain America didn't come out till 2011.
Yeah, okay. Avengers came, that was back when they were basically not doing 2 films a year. So Captain America came out in 2011 and Avengers came out in 2012.
Well, they were doing 2 a year because we got, in order, it's Iron Man, Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, and Captain America First Avenger. So we have 2008, 2008, 2010, 2011, 2011.
Okay.
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 So they were building up to doing a regular 2 a year at that point.
Okay. But I do remember Avengers was 2012.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Now, we definitely need to dig in the Skrulls a little bit.
Yes.
We've seen the Kree before. Right. The Kree have been on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Kree, you see Ronan in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Much older Ronan, by the way.
A much older Ronan, which they even did de-aging on Ronan in this film.
I know, that was creepy.
Yeah, I guess
he hadn't gotten... too, like, he was fanatical to, I guess you could say, but he hadn't gotten to the point where he's fucking doing war paint.
Yeah, I was gonna say the war paint, man.
And apparently
I doubt he was as strong.
Kree, as they get older, gain weight in their chin, apparently.
Is that a ting?
Because his chin was definitely more pronounced in Guardians than it was when he was de-aged.
It was accented though with like black paint, wasn't it?
That might have been too.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was definitely a lot angrier, and I feel like a little more ruthless in Guardians, having me gone to the extremist side of things, you know.
I like that there was nuance to that in this movie, where you could see him being a little bit more hardline than others, and you see the dude that ends up defecting with Ronan. I forget the name of the character.
The other Kree character. Yeah.
That you could see that he's definitely a little bit more ready to go that direction, but it's subtle.
Yeah, he's the rogue spy that turns into a terrorist. Like, that's basically what he is, because he worked within the government he was their bomb. You know, he was their sword, I guess, take down Babylon sort of thing, and then he just became like, I'm just going to kill everyone without orders.
Well, because the whole thing that they do a good job of showing this in Guardians was that Ronan hated the fact that his people created a treaty with Xandar, and that was the whole issue Ronan had. He didn't believe in that, in the wars that were happening, which hopefully we'll actually get some more past storylines coming through with that involved, leading into the next, maybe the next Captain Marvel movie, whatever. That's what I'm hoping for phase 4, is we get that, because let's see that war. Let's see what led to the Ronan we get in Guardians, because there's a lot going on in those 20 years in space that we don't fucking know about, man. I want to see that shit.
I do like that at the very end of Captain Marvel, Ronan's just like, oh, I'm be back for her.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, you're not.
There's literally nothing you can do.
You're going to lose a dance fight real bad, bro.
I love that he calls it, we'll come back for the weapon.
The weapon,
is what he says.
The weapon, yeah. Which, Actually leads me to well, we need to talk about the Skrulls.
Yes.
We need to talk about that before we deter any further.
Yeah. The Skrulls. If you are familiar with the comic books, Secret Invasion is a major run that involves the Skrulls. And the Skrulls throughout most of the Marvel comics are straight up bad guys. They are looking for world domination. They're infiltrating, like was discussed in Captain Marvel. But Captain Marvel takes a really hard turn on how to look at the Skrulls during the movie. And I was definitely really surprised when there was that farmhouse scene where the head Skrull, what's his name? Talos, I think.
Yeah.
Was it Talos?
Pretty sure it's Talos.
Yeah, that he's like, yo, okay, this is what's up, and like lays it down, and they have the black box recording, which, by the way, that was funny when they're waiting for it to load.
Waiting for the Alta Vista to load.
And there's Alta Vista. And
like, what's wrong with it? It's loading.
It's loading. They're like, what?
I'm just sharing knowing glances between each other because yeah, right. They're accustomed to a much higher technological efficiency.
That was another 90s, you know, that was just one of those things you had to, it was painstaking to get on the internet.
Tell like, who was at a certain age in the theater we were, because the laughter from Alta Vista was definitely like the older crowd, and then the young crowd like, why is this funny? Like, why are you?
Yeah, Mikey had no idea, but like Mike and I kind of looked at you like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Was it, what Talos was, Ben Mendelsohn.
Which he was the main villain in Ready Player One.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, great choice. He did a fantastic job in this role.
He always does. He plays a good dickhead.
The thing is, he, like, once they had that conversation at the farm, he was no longer a dickhead. Like, I loved his character once he like stopped being the man who was and trying to strictly save his race by himself, and now he's like, no, I'm coming to you for help now.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so good.
From a story perspective, yes, and I know that where you know what Hobbit was talking about was that's very different. A big, huge, such a huge deviation from their original storyline as for the Skrulls.
And that's the struggle, right? That I've been running into with that is that, like, on one end, shoot us a message if I'm misspeaking here, but I don't think they've ever been good guys, the Skrull. They've always been this, like, really menacing, dangerous, mm-hmm. like, race of aliens that are, like, hell-bent on domination. And to have them turn from that to refugees, and I understand the political environment and that being a real... you know, a race that's demonized and then really genuinely just refugees looking for a home. I get that. But I was struggling with the Skrull being utilized that way until I really started thinking about the fact that you're not gaining anything from the Skrull as villains in this way. You've already had experience with the Kree being hardline. So just two hardline races and the Earth is just kind of stuck in their war is a storyline that happens, but it's not building anything into the storyline of Avengers, like this whole MCU. Skrull now has been saved by Earth.
Right.
And that's gonna carry over to Endgame. There's no way that there isn't gonna be some Skrull involvement now with Captain Marvel becoming part of it. Skrulls are gonna show up, they're gonna be impersonating, they're gonna be helping out their friends that helped save their race. It's 100% part of the story.
That goes with what Marvel does really well is obviously it's villains, you know, Thanos being your perfect example of a villain that you go, I can actually kind of see through your perspective. They went a little further now instead of it being, you know, a villain where you're like, I can kind of see why they would choose to do this. Now you're going, yeah, if I was in your position, I would absolutely do that. You know, which is a big fucking turn for them. I was like, okay, I didn't think you can make a villain more, you know, I guess easier for me to relate to as just, you know what I mean, from as a character than to do that. That was really smart.
Well, I agree with you because you're right. Like, you know, the villains that we've gotten before, especially going to the most current, we had Thanos, and you're like, I can understand what you're saying, but no, dude, like I would never think that that's the only answer that I've got is to like literally eliminate 50% of the fucking population through the universe. Right.
Well, yeah, obviously.
So,
yes.
But I mean, just saying, like, I see what you're saying. We're like, whereas the Skrulls, you can understand, like, no, they're just trying to save their race. They are literally fighting for survival of their race. But, see, at that twist, they are no longer the villain to me. The Kree's the fucking villain.
But also, their race is apparently, like, 18 dudes. Like, that's, like
one chick who's just getting hammered on a regular basis.
And, like, a little babe. And a babe. And that's it.
Wait, listen, you had a handful of people. If the world were to go to shit and there was, like, 30 humans left on the planet, that's, you know, that's probably all you need to populate as long as you protect yourself.
Well, I think there were more than that, because they mentioned in the movie, they said, this is, we are just some few, we are scattered.
Oh, yeah, you are correct. Yeah.
So it's not just 18 that are going to repopulate a new planet.
She's going to be so tired.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that poor woman.
Oh, my God, it'd be like Grand Canyon. Jesus Christ.
We're going to need some ice.
All the lube.
Bite the pillow, I'm going. Okay, sorry.
Holy shit.
Let me apologize.
I like it. No,
what's
don't apologize.
What's this earth painkiller?
Awesome.
Oxycontin.
No,
okay.
But, in all seriousness, though, when that twist happened, like, the Kree are the villain to me. Now.
Yeah, of course.
The Kree are the true villain through the entire movie once that twist happened. So it's not like I'm now sympathizing with the villain when I understand what their real fight is. It's now that, like, no, I realized who the real villain was, and the Skrull were never the villain in the first place.
Is it the Kree, though, or is it the Great Intelligence?
Who runs the Kree.
Right. The Kree, I feel like they are getting all of their direction, all of their ideas, all the way how they're supposed to be handled. Like, you know, being taught you need to start suppressing your emotions and stuff because the Great Intelligence told you to. Yeah. So at what point, where is that line where is Kree really the villain, or is it they are being just...
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, and that's where...
Puppeted by the Great Intelligence.
Something I got from the movie that is maybe a little bit more softer and subtle than others is that you look at Ronan becoming basically a religious fanatic. The Kree itself kind of follows the trail of religion in general, that they have like the Great Intelligence that they believe in and listen to, and it got their entire lives are guided by. And then the ones that go more extreme by, but even the ones that are not like extremist by their own personal, you know, ideology are still pretty fucking hardline because they're going just without any question following the Great Intelligence, and it leads them to genocide and really terrible things. And that's what kind of happens in history when, whether it be religion or any kind of dogma, people follow it blindly.
Yep.
And that's a real conversation with the Kree that is definitely was very subtly discussed, because that's a very sensitive topic. But I think it was really cool how they kind of worked that in along with conversation about refugees. And there was some sociopolitical conversation happening in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was.
Oh, yeah. So subtle.
Oh, huge. Oh,
so huge.
No. Yeah. Oh, so huge. It was subtle, subtle. Not the way to go.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah,
was
when
huge.
When the Great Intelligence had a comb over, I'm like, it's a little ham comb.
You talk about the Kree, but it's important to look at the actual timeline of the Kree as we know them from the MCU and TV shows, because in some small way they do tie in together. Mm-hmm. And the Kree, this is after when the Great Intelligence was, I guess, destroyed. You know, where she basically incinerates the program or breaks free or whatever she does.
I think just breaks free.
Yeah, I don't think the Great Intelligence is gone.
No. So she's probably somewhere. But at the same time, like, what happened after that? Because the timeline for the Kree of what they did after that, they even got worse. You know, you have Ronan, who became a fanatic.
It definitely
splintered. Other became slave traders. If you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
You know, they eventually become, you know, they were running their own private UFC.
Yeah.
And they were slave trading. So did they get worse without the Great Intelligence to control them?
Well, and it's funny because, like, I mentioned that to Hobbit, and I was like, I love how they, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has basically just been setting up for this world with Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was doing nothing but introducing you to the type of bullshit that you're going to get from the Kree.
Yeah.
Essentially. And well, the last like two seasons, because they brought in the Kree from, like, when what's his face, the one agent gone rogue. Remember, he like got the blood in him and became like that ultimate being. You remember?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like they've been bringing the Kree in for like a couple seasons, and then when we see the future and what the Kree does to Earth, you know, like,
well, it wasn't the Kree that did it to Earth technically, well,
and
technically.
It's Earth.
It's Earth.
No,
or Terra.
It was Quake. But then when that happened, the Kree came in to pick up the pieces and utilize it for their own game.
But it was the Kree's fault that Quake existed, because Kree came to Earth a long time ago and set the shit in motion genetically for humans. To some of them are just have special powers.
They're the reason for the Inhumans.
The Inhumans.
Exactly. So everything about it is just...
It's all tied together.
But you see, but you get the pompousness and like the self-righteousness was set up in Agent's Shield of this race.
Yes.
And I feel like that was, as much as we say they're told not to be emotional, they're told not to show emotion, and, you know, that way they can have, you know, just be level in Captain Marvel, there is a definite air of self-righteousness.
They were less dicks without control.
Yeah.
Bigger dicks without control.
Exactly.
They were less dicks with the...
By the way, that sounds like a hair metal record.
Yeah, it does.
Bigger dicks without control.
Or a porn.
Or a porn,
can you imagine?
Yes.
Can you imagine the mane around that?
Can I just do... This is a little tangent.
We're at the end, so go for it.
We need to... Or I feel that we really need to have that call out to see baby Coulson, young Agent Coulson, and... Oh, that he didn't shoot them, and oh my God,
oh,
my
yes,
heart,
absolutely,
and,
yes.
And for Fury, and for Fury and Carol to be in the plane later and talking about what happened with that agent that wouldn't shoot us. He's like, oh, Coulson,
and that Eddie followed his heart. But that sets up entirely that everything moving forward with him getting to director and everything. That moment, that singular moment, very minor, sets it up where Nick Fury now trusts this man.
Or implicitly.
There was no conversation. Yeah. There was no him trying to explain the situation. Coulson just in his heart felt like Nick Fury, okay, there's a reason for this. I'm going to expect that there's a good reason for this,
this
and just let it go.
Out.
Yeah.
I think it's super important. I mean, and this may get on a really serious topic that we need to talk about how Samuel L. Jackson lost his eye.
No, that's not a serious topic.
That's
but
not
it's fun.
Serious.
That's fucking serious.
No, it's not.
And it's serious to a lot of other people. We wanted to know for a long time how that bitch lost his eye. Not straight from the comics, but from the MCU's perspective, how he's lost his fucking eye.
He's the Flurkin.
And we have a large contingency of eye patch wearing listeners that this was a really important moment for them. And I don't want to slouch away from that.
Look,
that,
I've had to wear an eye patch before, so fuck you. You better hope we have a large group.
Well, was it a Flurgan or was it a lazy eye?
What? It was a Flurgan.
It was a Flurgan.
You got Flurganed real hard.
I don't have any way to get. Yeah, Flurgan just seems more badass.
But you Flurgan me.
I'd Flurgan me.
I'd Flurgan me hard.
I'll Flurgan you right in your eye. Right in your eye.
Got Flurgan sticking in my eye.
Not my hair, Flurgan. My hair.
In your ears, up your nose with a rubber hose.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is falling apart.
as we are prone to do.
Yes. No, yes. But we are right about at the end here. So we, of course, could go on and on about Captain Marvel, but there is only so much time in the day for us to record an episode. So if you want to continue the conversation with us, the best way to do it is to follow us on social media after the episode releases. We've got a page called Reap the Spoilers that I will be posting a link to Captain Marvel where you can go in and we can get nitty gritty about like all the in and out action that happens with Captain Marvel.
Yep, downhill. Yeah.
We're done.
And so definitely look at that. Look at our social media. Let's have a conversation about what you think about Captain Marvel and where you think they could have done better, things that they knocked out of the park. And we'll see you here next time for another episode of Geeks Under the Influence. As always, I'm Mike the Hobbit. And join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, dude. Jesus Christ.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take. Our play begins to spread. You can fight all you want. Cause you felt to resist. We're here to take the world. And rule with an iron fist. So join us or die.
GUIPodcast.com